I think I'm the first speaker at this panel who is not a financial expert or a banker, so I'll try to offer a slightly different perspective of someone who has been part of the processes taking place at the political level, at the European level. And the fact is that we are in a different place. When we discussed the situation in the Eurozone here in Bled last year, the media were full of speculations and markets were full of mistrust and our people were full of uncertainty. So this is all gone. No one speaks about the end of Euro, no one speaks about the departure of this or that country from the Eurozone. We have moved from the operational crisis management into a stage where we are searching for systemic solutions. And we have hard facts, evidence to be more optimistic. First, the accumulated budget deficit of the Eurozone went down from 6.4% in 2009 to 3.7% last year, and it's going to be below 3% this year. The government bonds in Portugal or in Spain, of course, have their interest rate dropped by 50%. And we will be seeing, the Eurozone emerged from the crisis, from the recession, for the first time after 18 months in the second quarter of this year. So we will be seeing new elements such as European Commission scrutinizing the national budget proposals of the EU member states. So this is unprecedented and unheard of. So we are definitely in the better place, but of course there is no time for complacency. On the contrary, there are a couple of elements I believe we shall focus on. First one, to keep the confidence of the financial markets by thoroughly implementing what has been already agreed, and second, by continuing to implement and to bring about what has been called the Economic and Monetary Union, because we are only partially in the process of implementing the Banking Union, and we are still speaking about the Financial and Economic Union. So this must continue. My point number two is, of course, to keep our public, our citizens on board. They must understand what we do and why we do what we do. Otherwise, even the perfect solutions will not work. Point number three is the political sustainability of the new model, namely the division of competencies and responsibilities between the national level and European level. So when we transfer, and we do speak about transfer of competencies, but it must be accompanied by the transfer of responsibilities. It's from my perspective as a politician, member of national government, it's not acceptable that the European level makes decisions and we take the political risk of implementing this without being part of this decision. So there must be clarity about who makes these decisions and who bears responsibility. And my last point is about the future architecture of the European Union, because we are clearly moving towards deeper integration, greater integration. We are changing the architecture because we are getting more and more into the multi-speed Europe. We have different level of European integrations. We are more and less enthusiastic countries participating in this process. So there are a couple of elements to look at. First of all, to keep it open and flexible, to avoid the risk of turning European Union into a train that has the first class coaches and second class coaches forever. So those who are currently out, but may wish to get in later on, must have the chance. At the same time, those who decided to stay out must not have the power to block those who want to go further and deeper. And the European integration must not be a la carte process or cherry picking. So it really goes with all the responsibilities. These are all the elements and challenges we will have to deal with in coming weeks and months. But in general, I'm optimistic because we have situation clearly in our hands. We have identified the challenges. What we need is to show leadership and responsibility and also the courage.